And we ask in this time that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Another reminder that in so many ways we live in a hurt and broken world. And a hurt and broken world is the world that this one young man lived. As he lives in Kenya, and he lives with his stepfamily. And as the stepchild in this family, he's given the toughest of all the chores compared to his stepbrothers and sisters. What is his job? But he's in charge of fetching the water for his family. Inside of his village, clean water is not accessible, and so he has to spend hours a day taking the pots from his family and walking them down to the river, filling them up, and walking home. But this young man, once he would fill the pots and began his long journey home, along the path, he would see people who were sick, people who were hurt, people who were thirsty and hungry. And as he would pass them on the path, they would beg him for some of his water. "Please, can I have some of your water? I just need it so badly." And time after time, this young man would give some of his family's water to these men and to these women, because his heart would just hurt for them. And by the time he would get home, so often his pots would only be half full. And it would just anger his stepmother. It would anger her because he wasn't bringing home enough water for the family. And oftentimes she would physically punish him because he didn't fulfill his duty of bringing enough water. But time after time, on his journey back, he would encounter people desperately in need of his water. And day after day, he would give them some and go home and be punished for it. One day he decided he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take the punishment. And as he was heading down to the river, he said, "I'm not stopping for anyone. I'm not giving anybody any of my water, no matter what they tell me, because I don't want to be hurt today. I want to bring my family the water. I want to do my job, and so I'm not stopping for anyone." So down to the river he went, and he got there, and he filled his pots, and he began his journey home. "I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop." But he wasn't far from his village when this man was alongside of the road, this man that wasn't going any further unless he got some water. And he begged the young man, "Please, I'm going to die without some water. Please, can I have some of your water?" And he's going, "No, I can't stop. I can't stop. I have to take this water to my family. I can't upset my stepmother. I can't get hurt for helping this man. I need to take care of me." And he tried to move on, and he tried to keep walking. And he heard this man crying, "Please, have mercy. I just need some water." And his heart couldn't say no. And so he gave the man some of the water from his pot. And home he went and upset his stepmother got. And he felt the pains of it. But it wasn't too long later that a knock came on their door. And the door was opened, but who was standing there but the man he had given water to? It ends up it was a mail carrier, and he had a letter for this young man to congratulate him that he had been accepted into an academy, and he would be leaving home to go to school and get an education for the first time. A letter that never would have gotten to him if he hadn't given that man water by the side of the road. And where do we go with this story? But our second means of grace as Christians, compassion. What is compassion? As we look at our need for piety and mercy, both in our personal life and in our public life. And what is compassion but our personal acts of mercy? But where does this compassion come from? Where does this compassion that stirs our hearts and asks us to do things outside of ourselves? Well, it starts in the Old Testament. It starts in the Old Testament, and in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, The Hebrew word that's used can be translated love, and it can be translated womb. And you might be like me and thinking, how in the world do love and womb connect? But think about a womb that grows a child and what happens in that womb. But a child is protected. A child is nurtured. A child is provided for and cared for. A child is wrapped in the love of its mother while it's in that womb. The ultimate act of love that gets everything needed to that child. So here at that root of compassion, the source of nurturing, the source of love, the source of care and provision, and the provision of basic necessities. And as God looks at this compassion, he begins to give the law to his people. And here's Adam read from Deuteronomy. What is Deuteronomy? But Deuteronomy is the second telling of the law. In Exodus, we get the first telling of the law as it's given to Moses, and Moses is told from the mountaintop, go back to the people and let them know these are the laws of how they live with me as their God. And in Deuteronomy, we have the second telling of this law because, you know, human beings don't always get things the first time they're told. Sometimes you have to tell them again. Or if it's like my kids, about 10 or 12 times you have to tell them. But here God is giving it a second time. And in Deuteronomy, God is helping shape his people through the law in how they're supposed to live in relationship with him and how they're supposed to live in relationship with one another. And so here embedded in the law, he's talking to those who harvest for a living, those that provide for themselves through what they grow. And back in that time, there was this custom for those who were poor. And as we're reminded in this scripture, oftentimes those who were poor were the foreigners, the widows, and the orphans. And those who were poor, such as these, how they would often take care of themselves was gleaning fields. That after the workers would come through, the foreigners and the widows and the orphans and the poor would be allowed to come through and pick whatever was left. To pick that which wasn't good enough to be sold. Well, God here is saying to leave the scraps, to leave that which is rotten, to leave that which isn't good enough for you isn't enough. He's asking people to have compassion on the poor, compassion on the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. So what does he tell them? Leave extra behind. If you're going along and you're harvesting and you realized you missed a spot, don't go back, but leave that spot for somebody in need so they can take care of themselves. Make sure you don't beat your tree to the point where nothing's left, but stop when something's still there so you can take care of those in need that come behind you. Don't take every ounce of wheat, every bit of fruit, but leave something behind for those in need. We see this compassion living out when we get to the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth that's leading to the story of King David, Ruth and Naomi are widowed. And here as widows, they have no way to take care of themselves anymore. And Naomi, as the mother-in-law, says, let's go back to my homeland. I have relatives there, and we'll see if they can take care of us. And they go back, and she has a relative by the name of Boaz, and they begin gleaning in his fields. And Boaz knows about this, and he tells his workers, because of the compassion that his heart has for Ruth and Naomi, he says, leave extra behind to make sure these two widows have enough. Compassion that comes through taking care of those in need. This compassion, God says, is because I saw you as slaves. I saw you in your greatest time of need, your time when you were the most broken, the most hurt, the most needy, and I rescued you and brought you back to wholeness. And what I have done for you, I ask you to do for one another. But then we move to the New Testament. And compassion is no longer a Hebrew word, but now compassion is a Greek word. And here in the Greek word, the root is to have pity for. Have you ever had pity for someone? Somebody that you see alongside of the road, and whatever it is that their sign says, just tugs straight at your heart, and you know you have to help. One day I was at church, pulled up, and I'll admit I live too much of a fast food lifestyle on the run. And here I pulled up, and I had my bag from the drive-thru with my breakfast and my coffee in hand, and I get out of my car, and sitting right in front of the fellowship hall doors is a man sleeping. Now, there's so many places in me that says, all right, I need to call and have somebody remove him off the property for the safety of our property. But that's not what my heart said. My heart broke for this man, realizing nobody should have to sleep on the steps of a church. Nobody should have to be that cold. Nobody should have to be sleeping on concrete. And I went over and I gave him my breakfast, and I learned his name was Todd. And over the next 6 months, Todd and I developed somewhat of a friendship because he spent most nights sleeping on the fellowship hall steps until I would get there, and then he'd pack up his stuff and leave half the time with my breakfast. Because I stopped and gave him my breakfast, each of those times, he told me a little bit more about who he was. He told me a little bit more about what got him into that place. He told me a little bit more about his struggles. He told me a little bit more about his brokenness. And I had the chance to walk that journey with him for 6 months. That journey that I got reminded of when I was reading Brené Brown about compassion. She's talking about compassion. She started with the word courage. Courage coming from the heart. Courage that takes bravery. Courage that says, there's something bigger than me in this world. But then she began to talk and say that everybody has a story. Because we are people of a story. The story that's gone before us, the story that we live, and the story that's coming after that. And she says, when we have compassion, it's our intentional choice to stop and live somebody's story with them. And I thought that's what I was doing with Todd. I was able to hear his story and live his story with him for that moment, having compassion to try to see the needs that he had and figure out how to fill those needs. I couldn't put him in a home. I couldn't give him a job. But I could give him breakfast and an extra blanket. And more than anything, I could sit and listen to his story and remind him that there are people that care about him in this world. Isn't that what Jesus did? As Jesus, like this young man, walked paths every day. And along those paths, there'd be the people on the side of the road begging for help. People who couldn't walk. People who couldn't see. People who are banished to the outskirts of town because of leprosy. People who needed healing. People who needed wholeness. People who needed somebody to see past their brokenness and see the child of God that was within them. And that's what Jesus did over and over again. And it wasn't just about healing people. But the bigger thing he did was that he forgave people and made them whole so they could live a whole life. So here we come. As we think of God's call to compassion through love, through being a womb, through having pity for people, I wonder where that takes us. Where does that take us as we walk out these doors and see the broken world around us. It reminds us that we are all interconnected. None of us are individuals completely cut off from this world, but we are all connected to one another. I've done this exercise I don't know how many times before. Taking a ball of string, standing in a circle, and each person tossing that string to somebody, sharing their name or who they are, until everybody's gotten the ball of yarn and is standing there holding a piece, and there's a web between us. And as long as everybody's holding it, that web is tight. That web is complete. That web is the way it's supposed to be. But if just one person lets go, the whole thing goes limp. And that's who we are as God's family. We are all interconnected as children of God. Our lives are all connected. And when one person hurts in one way or another, we all hurt along with them. When we see somebody in need, there's a portion of us that hurts. The question is, if that hurting leads us to action. If we see that person hungry and choose to feed them. If we see that person thirsty and choose to give them water. If we see somebody without a coat and we find one for them. If we find somebody who's lonely and stop and listen to their story. Because each one of us, whether we realize it or not, has some brokenness inside of us. And when we realize there's brokenness in me and there's brokenness in you, it connects us together and we're able to work to heal one another. One of the great quotes says, if you want to be happy, be compassionate. God was the first to be compassionate to us. Jesus lived the life and example of being compassionate for us. So my question to you, do you have a heart like Jesus that has compassion for the broken people around you with a desire to make their life better so that we all can be lifted up through our actions? My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the compassion that you have showed us. We give you thanks for the compassionate life that Jesus lived, that he couldn't pass by the hurting, that he couldn't send the hungry home to find food, but that he stopped to heal people. He stopped to listen to people. He stopped to feed people, but most importantly, he stopped to help make people whole and to remind them that they are a human being worthy of life. We give you thanks that that is the way that you have treated us, that that is the compassion that you have showed us through your overwhelming love and care for us. And now we know that you have called us to clothe ourselves in compassion and kindness, to put on a lens that sees the hurting, not as somebody less than us, but somebody just as worthy as us. Help us to be able to see how it is that we can act upon our compassion, to see what's in our capacity, to see what's in everybody's best interest, to see how it is that we can ease another person's pain and both of us be lifted up in the process. Help us to have your heart and to be your hands and feet, knowing we can't change the whole world, but we can change a life, and that will make all the difference. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.